But it's not quite the same. We're made to fellowship, aren't we? That's the way God made us. Let's stand this morning and praise his name. Good old hymn of the faith, Victory in Jesus. I think I'm going to play along.
I heard an old
if you know this one or not, you know, good. Oh, no, I got the wrong song. You know that one, I'll bet. I might have given you the wrong power. That's the wrong one. Yeah, there you go. Sorry about that. Here we go. I had two, what? There you go. Keep going back. It starts with, He Came to Live. There we go. Hopefully I got it in there. I can't believe this. Here we go. Try one more time.
He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our life. He came to die, so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise, to show his power and might. That's why we praise him, that's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. He came to live again in us. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones his love. He came to go, prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him, that's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause he gave his. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything.
It's Latin. It's pronounced Agnus Dei.
the Lamb, thinking you are holy.
Sing one more, a chorus that always speaks to my heart. I don't know what part of life you're in. I guess we're all in the same part, right? Day to day, walking with the Lord Jesus. God will make a way. If you have something this morning that isn't going to work, you don't think, you got to give it to the Lord. The Lord said, I can make it work. I'll make a way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side with love and strength. For each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Thank you.
It's our privilege this morning to bow before Him and to pray. When we think of prayer, we think of the power that God gives us to pray, and God is able to move. He is holy, He is almighty, and it's our privilege to come into His presence and to make our petitions known to Him. Again, like it's Hebrews 4:16, He says that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we might find mercy, and then to find grace that will help us in our times of need. And I'm sure this morning every one of us have needs, and the privilege we have of bringing them to Him, just to open our hearts to Him, kind of like bringing our cares and our concerns with our hands turned right side up, and we approach Him and turn them over. Bring our troubles to Him, our concerns to Him, because He cares for you. Amen. To know that He loves us and He wants to fellowship with us. And it's our privilege to approach Him this morning. Would you stand with me, please, as we open our hearts to Him? Once again, our Father, it's our privilege to approach You this morning. What a privilege that is. We need to come with boldness. We need to come with confidence, without fear, believing that by the promises You've given to us, that we can find rest in our times of need. You have said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your soul. That's the rest that we need today. In our world of turmoil, we need that rest that comes only through You. And if we're not careful, even if we as believers, we allow the pressures of life to press in upon us, and we begin to doubt and to fear. And You've told us that we are not to fear. The Bible tells us that God does not give to us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. What a privilege to approach You this morning. And so we bring this congregation to You, Father. We bring all of those who are in need. I think of our pastor and his family as they're going through these times of uncertainty. I pray that You'll give them that rest. But I pray for each of us, Father. All of us are facing difficult places in life, and you're the answer. You not only have the answer, you are the answer. When we allow you to come into our lives and guide and direct us through this place we call life, you're able to guide us and direct us, and we thank you and praise you for that. So once again, we bring our cares and our concerns to you, and we walk away and leave them there, knowing that in you there is life, in you there is hope. Greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. We believe that this morning, and therefore we approach you with confidence that we might find mercy, yes, but we might find grace, your grace, to help us in our times of need. Would you continue to bless us this morning, our Father? Whatever we do, we've come here to worship you and to praise you, and that's exactly what we do, whether it's in the singing or the witness or whatever it is, the preaching of your word, whatever it is. We take communion. It's all to bring glory and honor to you. And therefore, we count it a privilege to bow before you and worship you in spirit and in truth. We give you praise. Well, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
After the offering is taken, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and receive the, or pass out the elements also. You know, here in this congregation, we practice what is known as open communion. That a month ago or so, when he was giving communion, a gentleman said he didn't belong to this congregation, and he didn't feel like he wanted to take. And I just want to assure anybody here, whether you're a member of this congregation or not, if you're here today and you are one of God's children, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If then this communion is open to you. I wrote a few notes here, so I wanted to try to share a few things with you. Some churches have communion just once a year. You may have come from a church that practiced communion about the time of Easter or Passover. Some churches have communion every week. Our church has elected to serve communion just once each month. Are you done? Yeah. Did you get Dave? We profess no saving or cleansing power in these elements. We do, however, when taking this bread and this juice, recognize the power of Jesus Christ, who gave us these sacraments to both be able to cleanse and to save, and that his sacrifice of body and blood was and is our only hope of salvation. Remembering this, we take these elements and give thanks. Now, these elements we call communion is Holy Communion. Holy Communion. And therefore, we should, as partakers, try our utmost to live a life that is holy of His worthy sacrifice, worthy of His holy sacrifice, excuse me. Though we may never succeed, we will always be striving. We will always be striving to be more and more like Jesus. And so as we take this, we just take it in remembrance of that work that was done on the cross for us as He took that night of the Passover and He's told His disciples, here, take this bread. This is My body that is broken for you. Eat it. And then He said, this is My blood was shed for you, blood of the new covenant. This blood that He gave that we might be saved, take and drink it. Do this in remembrance of Him and give thanks. Oh, holy God, we who are Your creation on this earth, we do thank You. We do recognize the sacrifice made that day for our salvation. And Heavenly Father, we will, as a body, remember and share the love of Christ, that He would shed His blood and give His body for our salvation and our hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe, we believe. Dark, You help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith more than anthems, greater than the song. We believe in the Holy Spirit. He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud, our God will say, we believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe, we believe,
we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe Spirit,
and He's given us new life.
We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming.
Quite a question, is it not? Do we believe? Do we believe?
Yes.
All things are possible for those who believe. Isn't that what the Bible says? Do we believe that? Quite a song. Amen. Happy New Year. The very first part of the year. And just think. The slate is clean. We start a new year. The old year is past. We close the book on the old year. Not been a very good year, has it? But we can look forward to a better year in 22. You agree? You believe that? I do. I believe God has great things for us if we will just believe. Continue to trust Him. Continue to believe that what God says is true. And I believe God wants to bring about a great movement in this year that will change things. I'm confident that it can happen. You read back under the old covenant, you know, they had a lot of problems. They would get away from God, and God would bring other people, other nations, much more wicked than them, to punish them, to bring them back. And when they come back, He'd forgive them. And then it wouldn't be very long till we'd be drifting back into the old ways. So God responds to us many times in the way we respond to Him. But He wants to fellowship with us. That's what He wants, isn't it? God is so good. So we come this morning to look at His Word and to try to find some answers to the situations that we go through. But one of the things I want us to look at this morning is the power that God has for us. The power to live in such a way that we can rejoice in the midst of the trials and the circumstances of life. We have gone through a terrible time. Much worse than anything I've ever seen in my life. I was thinking this morning about some of you, of course, not all of you, but some of you, who was born in 1980. How many people we have born in 1980s? In the 80s? Now, Bob Hart, you wasn't born in the 80s. Okay. If you was born in 1980, that would mean that you were, what, 42 years of age now. Thank you. 42 years of age, and you probably have children, even grandchildren. But to kind of put it in perspective, when you was born, I was 50 years old. Think about that. So I've seen a lot of things in my life that you have not seen. I've experienced a lot of things that you have not experienced. So I want to make sure I don't go back too much and live in the past, but I do think memories are wonderful things. I remember back there years ago when the church was different than it is now. I remember those times when we heard preachers who preached hellfire and damnation. Sometimes you could almost smell the sulfur. Very, very crises times. But I'm grateful that I heard those messages because that is God's word, isn't it? Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke with all patience and longsuffering. So that is my responsibility then, is to preach the word. Not what I believe, not what I think, but what does God's word say? Are we to live by what God says or by what man says? And I'm confident that if we live by what God says, we will be able to enjoy life to the fullest. Maybe the pressure's outside, but inside. It's what's within us that is important, isn't it? You agree with that? Read your word. It talks about this power within us that enables us to find victory. No matter what the circumstances are outside, we can have peace, comfort, and hope inside if we believe and are willing to follow his leadership. So that's what I want us to deal with this morning is this relationship that God has made available to us. And if we will obey him, then we can find rest in the midst of the storms. We build our lives upon that solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. And sometimes we need to dig down deeper, don't we? And get down to that solid foundation to build our house on. Because the storms are coming. But if we'll build our house on that solid foundation, even though the storms come and beat against that house, Jesus tells us that house will stand. And I believe we are facing circumstances that we need to make sure that our anchor holds and grips that solid rock. Now, what I want to deal with this morning is what Paul deals with. Paul is, in fact, as far as I'm concerned, one of the great writers of the Bible. Paul was a very difficult person to be around before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. But there's something that changed him, and he became a different person. And I believe that the grace that changed him can change us and make us those instruments that God can use for his honor and for his glory. And so two of the books that I really spend a lot of time in is the book of Ephesians and the book of Romans. And so this morning I want us to look at the book of Ephesians and find what Paul is saying to us as we take this journey of life, what he gives to us that's available, and then go on and look through later in the scripture to find how God deals with people who are willing to follow him. Because he is able to keep that which we've committed against to him against that day. So whatever the day brings, his grace is sufficient. And one of the great things that Paul writes about is the power that is available to us. This power that enables us to walk with him and to serve him no matter how difficult times become. So Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, and remember, I'm not sure, I don't think he was the one to establish that church, but I know that he did spend two times there. He was there for a little while, then he left, and then he came back, and he was there for 2 years. And he was trying to help them to find God's plan for them in the midst of a difficult situation. Ephesus was a very immoral place to live. They were pagans, and so that church was dug out of paganism, and Paul dealt with them for 2 years about the Christian experience. And so he is now in Rome, and he's writing back to them. He's arrested. He's in Rome. He's in prison. He's probably chained between two guards, but he's writing this letter back to the church at Ephesus because he loved them and he cared for them. And I'm sure it wasn't long before he was led out and he was beheaded for the sake of the gospel. And I just think about that. They probably led him out of prison. They probably took him to the chopping block, so to speak, and they cut his head off, and then they probably wiped their hands and said, well, we're rid of that guy now. He'll no longer trouble us. And yet Caesar is gone, the Roman Empire is gone, and the gospel, according to Paul, is still around the world changing people's lives. So Paul was a very powerful person as far as God's plan for his life was concerned. So in Ephesians chapter 1, there's two chapters in here that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, and I believe he is praying for us too. So I want us to look at what he says in chapter 1. Just, I want to get through this as quickly as we can because there's something in the end I want us to really deal with. So let us look at it. It said, for this reason, in verse 15 of chapter 1, for this reason, and I want you to notice that, ever since I heard about you, and of course when you read that, you need to go back and say, well, what was the reason? And we don't have time to do that this morning. But I want you to look at that. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So Paul is praying for that church. And notice what he prays. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Not just spirit, not just wisdom and revelation, but even the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The calling that God gives to us. We might know what that calling is. And God calls every one of us to be a witness, doesn't he? So that we might know the hope of his calling on our lives. But notice he also goes on, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. And then in verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power is like the working of his mighty power, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that is in us. Think about that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now the power that is within us that enables us to find victory in the situations that we go through. What a promise that is. And so I look at that and I say, well, if I have that kind of power in me, then it doesn't matter what I go through in life. And I've had some very difficult places in my life, but God has always been the same. His power has been available no matter how difficult and the suffering might be. God has always been there. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Then again in chapter 3, in chapter 3 is another prayer for the Ephesians, and notice what he says, for this reason. Now, if you look at the reason, Paul in chapter 3, in chapter 2, in fact, Paul is dealing with the fact, the mystery that has not been revealed in times past, but has now been revealed to the prophets and the followers of Christ. And what was that mystery? Is that the Gentile is now included in this wonderful plan of salvation. It's not just for the Jew, it's for the Gentile also, and that's us, isn't it? So the gospel is available to us as Gentiles just as much as it is to the Jews. And Paul could say, I'm not ashamed in Romans. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. And so that includes us. The power of the gospel is available to every one of us. So Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. When I think about that, when we kneel before him, we don't have to kneel before anything else, do we? We kneel before the Father, not before the government, not before people, not before Satan. We kneel before God. And when we kneel before him, there's where we find the power. So he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Paul is getting right to the very source of our needs. The power of the resurrection is within us. And he says you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. For this reason, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. We can know that, can't we? We can know how powerful the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Powerful, isn't it? So this power is within us through the Holy Spirit, that we can find this power that enables us to live victoriously in spite of the difficult situations that we go through. To me, that's victory. To me, that is hope. That gives me confidence that I can face my situation, I can face my life without worrying, without being frustrated, without being anxious, because I have a peace that passes all understanding. This victory that's available to us if we believe. What a powerful song that was, Dave. If we believe, all things are possible for those who believe. And so I want us to kind of lay that foundation that this victory, this power is available to every one of us if we believe and if we'll walk with him in newness of life and listen to that small, still voice that enables us to face these days with confidence that God will never leave us nor forsaken us. So there's a lot of scripture I have here that we could go through, but I know that time is also important because I look at that clock and I know that you've got a certain period of time that you kind of will turn me off. So I want to make sure I get to the end of it, okay? And so I want that foundation that Paul makes it very clear: there is victory for us if we believe. There is a power available to us through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, living in us that enables us to be victorious in every situation of life. There is no reason why we as Christians, if we believe, to be ever be defeated and lose confidence in what God has been promising to us. But again, my concern is that we look at the situations, we get our eyes off of Jesus and we look at the situation and they become so big that we forget that God is greater than anything that can ever come against us if we believe and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us throughout life. Now, there's one verse of scripture I want us to look at then, and that is in John chapter 14, verse 15. And here's what Jesus said. He said to those disciples, now I want us to look at those disciples this morning. But here's what he said to those disciples as they walked with him. In chapter 14 of John, verse 15, it says, If you love me, you will obey what I command. There it is. If you love me, you will obey what I command. So if you will do that, he says, here's what I will do. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. This counselor will not be like Jesus. He's telling him, I'm going to be leaving you, but this counselor will never leave you, he said. So who is this counselor? He makes it very clear. He said, he is the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He's talking to those disciples. He's talking to us. But you know him because, he says, for he lives with you and will be in you. So notice what he's saying. He is now with you, but there will come a time when he will be in you. And that, my friend, is the difference. In fact, if you listen to those, if you watch those disciples, when Jesus called them, what did they do? He called them as fishermen, didn't he? And they left their boat, they left their father, and they followed him. And for 3 years, 3.5 years, they watched him as he healed the sick, as he gave sight to the blind, as he gave hearing back to the deaf. He raised the dead. He fed the multitudes. They watched him and what he did. And they were following him. And the Holy Spirit was with them. Because there would come times when they would be able to do great things. He would tell them, I give you the Holy Spirit. They went out and they healed people also. But it didn't last very long because the Holy Spirit was with them, but yet was not in them. And so they began to doing things that they should not have done. In other words, they were very selfish. If you look at those disciples, they were very selfish people. In fact, two of them got their mothers to go to Jesus and say, we want a favor of you. And what is the favor, Jesus said? They said that my sons, one will sit on the right hand of you in glory and the other on the left hand. And Jesus said, it's not me to give that. That's in my Father's hands. So they wanted to be the most important in the new kingdom. They were very selfish. And they could even look at him and tell him, as Peter did, when Jesus told him, said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter said, that can't be. Now remember, he had already recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. He had already done that. But now he is saying, Jesus, you can't do that. And he even said to Jesus, and he said, Peter, before the cock crows 3 times, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter said, not I. Now these others might, but not me. I will not deny you. But what did he do? Every one of them denied him, didn't they? They walked away from him. Even Peter could not even talk to a little maiden when she accused him. You were one of them. No, I'm not one of them. I don't know him. So they completely disowned him when the pressures came upon them. Why? Was the Holy Spirit with them? Yeah, they were. The Holy Spirit was with them, but they failed in their obedience to the Lord. So what happened? Well, you go to the crucifixion, the crucifixion, and then the resurrection. That didn't change them either, because you look at them after the resurrection. Where are they at? They're behind locked doors. They're so fearful of the Jews, they can't even come out behind the locked doors. Jesus appeared to them with the doors locked and to eat with them. And they still cannot understand that what Jesus had been telling them and showing them for 3 years. In fact, even in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus then after the resurrection walked with them and for 40 days and talked to them about the kingdom of God. Did that change them? No. They were still saying to him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Are you going to set up your kingdom now? They were still looking at this kingdom that would profit them. They'd be no longer be under the tyranny of the Romans. And Jesus said to them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit was with them. But what did they do? What was lacking? It was another experience. When you look at Acts chapter 2, you'll find it was a different experience. Where was they at? Jesus, they followed Jesus out to the ascension. And what did Jesus tell them? He told them, you go back to Jerusalem and wait. And that's exactly what they did. They went back to Jerusalem. They waited, 120 of them. And they waited in that upper room for this wonderful experience of the coming of the Holy Spirit that not only be with them, but would be within them. So what happens in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, that changed them totally and completely. When the Holy Spirit came upon them and came and lived in them, they were different people after that. In fact, if you follow it through the scripture, and you'll see that been happening. These same disciples, for Peter, for instance, was the one who was the one that always got his mouth open, and he still was after Pentecost. In fact, when I think of Pentecost, we don't say much about Pentecost, do we? Yet I believe that Pentecost is one of the most important dates on the calendar, but we don't see it on the calendar. You ever look at the calendar and see when Pentecost will be? Can you tell me, can anyone tell me when Pentecost Sunday is this year? I can tell you. You look at our bulletin, you know, we got things up to the 17th of July, I think it is, but nowhere in there talks about the Pentecost Sunday. In fact, I got a thing from my church, my denomination, and I looked through that calendar, and there was nothing about Pentecost in it. I couldn't believe it. Last year, I talked to a preacher after Pentecost, and I said to him, what did you preach on last Sunday? And he said, I preached on finances. Did you know last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday? No, he wasn't aware of that. It is June the 5th this year, Pentecost Sunday. Very vital part, because that's what changed those disciples from men who were fearful, who were scared of the Jewish leaders. But after Pentecost, you see them as they stand up before those leaders who had been really accusing them. And so we look at it in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and he healed the lame man which was there. Remember, this is after Pentecost. And so they began to speak to the people. And so in verse 3, it says, in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, now as they spake to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So now they're being arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we go on in Acts chapter 4, verse 5, and it says, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, he went on to say to them, whether it's right to do what you say in the sight of God or not, he said, but we can't help but speak of the things that we've seen and heard. Peter totally changed after Pentecost. In fact, after they were arrested, it said they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And so they called them, there it is, the scripture, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So there they are standing now before the same rulers rather than forsaking Jesus. They are standing up and preaching his message. And in spite of what the leader said, they still proclaim the words of Jesus Christ. And so they let them go. But what did they do? They went back to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God on one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And when they had prayed, here it is, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So we see the change in them, don't we? I believe that's exactly what Paul was preaching to them, to us. I mean, it's exactly what he's preaching to them. The same gospel, the same Holy Spirit that changed those disciples can change us also. See, there's a danger that we as a church, we can have the Holy Spirit with us, but that's as far as we go. We don't go deeper in that experience to whereby the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and he's there to guide us and direct us into all truth. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would never leave us nor forsaken us. So we have that confidence that we have power, no matter what the pressures are, we have the power within us. There's a difference between with and in us. And we need to make sure that we believe, and we believe that the power of the Holy Spirit can be in us and enable us to accomplish whatever God calls us to do. In fact, I was reading where one writer in talking about this, and he says, could that be where the church is today? The Holy Spirit is with us to help us in certain times of need, but we need him to be in us to change our world with the powerful word of God that has become flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And another writer said, though our ears have been opened and we have heard the whisper of his love, we shall become dull of hearing unless we listen often and listen long for that still and small and inward voice of his Holy Spirit. How much time do we spend alone with him in a quiet time, listening to this inner voice speaking to us many times through the word of God? What a privilege it is. And I take advantage of that of a morning, try to get alone with the Lord, spend time with him so that I can listen. I can shut that door, sit there with my Bible, listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit as he begins to speak to me. What a wonderful experience that is. But we need to make sure that we are obedient, that we are believing, that we are accepting that wonderful experience of his amazing and wonderful grace. Another writer said, if we are to become strong, we must be strengthened by a power that is not ourselves. And St. Paul can name that power and bear witness to its energizing. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. So again, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, and I believe he says to us, I bow my knees unto the Father, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I am convinced there's where the victory is. So again, no matter what the outside circumstances are, if we have that inward power of the Holy Spirit, we have been the Pentecost. We have that filling of the Holy Spirit. And we then are exercising the privilege of walking with him and serving him and getting alone with him and his word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And that's me and that's you. Every one of us has a right to have that experience, to have our Pentecost, and to make sure that our lives are a reflection of that power within us. What a privilege to serve him. Dave, would you come and sing for us again? If you listen this morning to this song again, look into your own heart. You know, we can begin to change here. This is 2022. We can start making not just resolutions, but we can make promises to God. Lord, I'm going to be a stalwart of yours. I'm going to be one who have had that inner experience of your cleansing and your filling, and I'm going to walk with you in power, and I'm going to let the victory roll from me to others. I'm going to be a witness. You know what the word witness means? It means a martyr. He says, you will be, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be my witnesses, and that also means you'll be a martyr for me. We may have to die for him, but we have that power to do that. Listen to the song again as Dave sings for us.
Pastor asked me to sing this song again, that we believe. You can sing along. I'm sure you know this song. Sing along with the words that you know. And let's stand, shall we? Well, yes. That's a long time to stand.
Yes.
Why don't I bring you up about halfway through this song?
Okay. Okay.
I signed up for Medicare this year, so you know I'm getting there.
Yeah. So.
We believe. Pastor wanted me to share this one more time. And join in with anything, the parts that you know.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. Given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud, our God will say, we believe. Gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. For we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again.
Pastor.
I think of Jesus when he went to Nazareth, I think it was, and he wasn't able to do many miracles there because of their unbelief. He only healed a few sick folk, but he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Do we really believe? And I think, to me, this morning is a challenge for this new year. Are we as a church ready to stand up and say, enough's enough? We're going to obey God rather than man. We're going to walk with him and trust him and let him work in our lives in ways that we can win the world. When you read the voice of the martyrs, some of the people in other countries who are serving Christ, who are giving their lives, they go underground for churches because why the Taliban comes and burns down their buildings. They kill the fathers, and those people still, the church is still growing in those areas. Maybe we've had it too easy. We need a new Pentecost, I believe. Are we willing? Are we willing to go deeper with him? I'm asking you not to make, I'm not make a resolution, but a commitment to God. This year, we're going to be different. I want to be different. I want to be more like Jesus and let my light shine before men, that they may see my good works and glorify my Father who is in heaven. He's coming back again, yes. But who is he going to come get? Those who are obedient, those who are following his command. He is trying to believe. I believe he's trying to prepare a people for his coming again. But we need this experience that Paul talked about within us, not just with us, but within us. To me, that's a challenge for this year, to make sure that we are letting the Holy Spirit live within us a life that is pleasing to him. And Jesus can be proud of us as we worship him. Father, thank you again. Thank you for this privilege, Father, of coming and ministering to these wonderful people. And I pray that you'll take words, though maybe a lot of flaw in it, I don't know. But the word you said would not return to you void. And I'm asking you to take your word. Penetrate our innermost being. May we hunger and thirst for righteousness so that we can find in you your grace to help us in our times of need. Bless our people, Father, as we go through these difficult days. But help us to live according to your purpose and your will, blessing others in our difficult times. And we'll humbly give you praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. And again we say, amen. May it be so. God bless you. Have a great day. And go praising the Lord, okay? Praise his name.